every Wednesday, except last Wednesday when it was my anniversary. We head to Ellettsville, and County Councilwoman Marty Hawk is ready to give us an update. It's been a couple weeks, Marty. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. My buddy Lee Chapman told me he sold out of all the fish he could at the Elks Club, so that was great to hear. How are you?
I am fine, and you know, we had also wonderful fireworks over here in Ellettsville.
Saturday night, that's right.
Saturday night, it was so well received. We had people out really enjoying the fireworks, and there were people having cookouts. They were sharing their pictures of where they'd had cookouts and invited all kinds of family in. It's a big family gathering time there, so that because in all of the neighborhoods around, they could see the fireworks right from their backyard if they wanted to.
Is that the fire department who puts that? Who's in charge of making sure that great celebration happens annually over there in Ellettsville, Marty?
Absolutely. It's a fire department. It's all the volunteers, and it's local donations to make that happen. It's not tax dollars. It's local donations to make that happen. And then, of course, and the fire department works on that all year long, getting it ready. But, of course, they want to make sure that we also support our local law enforcement over there, because the Ellettsville Police Department was really out there in full force making sure that all went well with it as well. So it's just a wonderful community spirit. It was a time for family gatherings and just the kind of thing that makes you really proud of your hometown. So it was really a great gathering.
And I wanted people to know that, so they can either make donations so it happens next year, or there's some people, like I was talking last hour with Mike McAfee from Visit Bloomington, that people come up to me and said, well, why doesn't Bloomington do that? I said, well, I don't know, but Ellettsville does, so there's always a place to go, and we want to make sure that is supported, so that will continue lighting off those fantastic fireworks over there. And the other great part of the Ellettsville fireworks, I think it's fantastic that the city of Bloomington does their 4th of July parade on 4th of July. Well, you get more than one. You don't have to do everything in the same day, Marty, and that's great if you got small kids. You can spread it out all week long.
Well, and they also have to work for when they have the person who's going to do it, because I don't have his name memorized.
Well, that's okay. The firework operator.
The operator. And he was busy on another date. They have to work all of that together.
Sure.
And boy, that person puts on the most marvelous fireworks. And so it's good to make sure that whoever they're working with really knows what they're doing. And boy, it was spectacular. So kudos to everybody. And yes, I think after all of this celebration is over, parents were ready for a rest. I remember when I had little ones, that was just a lot to try to keep up with.
It sure was. You have the fireworks, you have the county fair all that week, you have the 4th of July that week. Well, that's probably the most exhausting part of summer.
Well, it is exhausting, but it's the thing that the young people look so forward to, and parents want to make sure that they help create the memories for their kids. So kudos to everybody doing that. And so now we're back to work. Back to work time. Well, you know, things did keep going, even though you and I weren't able to keep going here on the radio. Things were going on in county government. And so I'll try to talk as quick as I can.
We have time today. I'm not gonna hurry you, but we've got CIB to talk about. We got all kinds of things to talk about. Take it away.
Well, since you mentioned CIB, let's start out with that. The CIB has been agreed to by the city and the county to move forward. Of course, we're now waiting on the interlocal agreement, which really puts some real rules into how the CIB is going to work. So we don't have that done yet. But, you know, we've got the first step. You've got to take the first step before you ever go and get to the finish line. So we got the first step. But now we're working on getting those appointments. And there's a lot of people very interested in serving on this. And we just received one just today from your friend of mine, Eric Spoonmore, who's president of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, who has indicated his interest in serving on the Capital Improvement Board. And so when he did that, he sent that out to the auditor and also with a separate notice to each of the county council people, because the county council has an appointment to the CIB. Now the county commissioners have two appointments. Well, so when that came out, that notice came out, I sent a little message back to our attorney saying, you know, have there been any other people apply? I noticed that it appears that it's supposed to be just going to the county commissioners on the front page of the county website. And so if other people applied, it seems to me, since we have appointments, we ought to know that as well. And also because we have a health board appointment. The county council, as of July 1, is supposed to have a health board appointment. So we need to be knowing who's applying for some of these boards and commissions. Well, it came back as a memo from a message from our attorney that she had called TSD to see if there had been any others apply, and evidently there was some kind of snafu and none of this was working or going through. So people thought they were applying, it wasn't working. I don't know. I mean, that was very confusing. I'm glad I asked the question, because would we have ever known it wasn't working?
Right. Wasn't there a website you could go to and fill it out if you wanted to be a part of it?
That's what I saw on the front page of the county site, saying fill this out, and it said send it back to the commissioner's office. If I'm just going by memory here, but that's the reason why I asked the question. And then it came back, well, you know, weren't any other applications, because it wasn't working for whatever reason. So, whatever, they'll work it out now. But I'm just saying, as we speak, I only know of one that's actually filled up.
Now, do you have to go from that list, or is that who just... Is it a vetting process? Is it who sits down with all the people, and how do we get those names official?
Right. I would think that you absolutely would want to fill out that form and send it in. If I were you, I would go ahead and do it as Mr. Spoonmore did, which was send it to the auditor's office and send a copy of it to everybody on the council or everybody on the county commissioners or both. And for any kind of board or commission that you're interested in serving, just fill one of those out and say you're interested in being a part of this, and so that we all know who has an interest. So you've got sort of a list of people who would like to either be involved in the tourism business, or if they want to be involved with county planning or on the health board or whatever. We have a great group of people who really want to be a part of serving their community. And so I was happy to see this application come in from Mr. Spoonmore, because who knows better? I mean, he knows how county government works, and he knows how businesses work, and he's really been, you know, his assignment is, it appears to be, get that convention center built.
Well, so, right, yeah.
Right, so, you know, he has an interest in it. So
the interesting point going to be everybody coming together to determine who the seventh and final one is? Doesn't that have to be everyone's agreement? How do we all agree on something, Marty, whether it's pizza toppings or ice cream flavors? How is this going to work?
Okay, you mean how is the appointments going to work,
right,
or how is the interlocal agreement?
Well,
going to work?
Let's start with the appointments. That'll lead. Then that will trigger the next question when we know that. But yeah, everybody comes together to appoint the seventh and final one, right?
Right. Well, when we say everybody, it is that there's three appointments made by the city, three appointments made by the county, and those six appointments makes the seventh one. Now, remember that it has to be a divide between the political parties.
By law.
Be one party
by law.
The other. So,
by law.
Right. So it would just seem to me that if you have an interest in making sure that you have someone on there that understands, we would have to look to see which party they're setting on to make sure that you're appointing the right one. And so there you go.
Let me just throw these numbers out here, and you tell me if I'm going to be kind of right or really right, because we don't know. We're just going to assume. We assume this is going to be four Democrats. Pretty straightforward, correct? I mean, we can see what the county council
right.
is. We can see what
the city council. You have to have one of the two from the county commissioners has to be, they have to be of different parties. And the same thing as from the mayor has to be from different parties. So you know that right there, they're going to have to come up with two.
Gotcha. And, right, so by law.
But if they don't, but so that's two. But also we know that the six that are put together will then appoint the seventh.
Gotcha. And that will have to be in a mathematic formula by law that states it has to be
4-3.
4-3. There you go. So that will take a little bit of the political out of it, but it will not completely. Nothing is apolitical. Anybody that says that otherwise, that's just not how it works. What is the timeline, Marty, for getting this all put together? Is that something that we just hope to have done by a certain day? Or is there a statute in Indiana that says now that this process has started, we've got to accomplish this by this time, that by that time?
Well, I am not certain that there is any statute having to do with how quick a CAB has to move. But what I can say is there were people who seemed to think that if we didn't have all this done by December 1, the sky was going to fall in. And I know there's just an urgency. Why mess with this? We got the momentum going. Let's keep it going. Let's get this worked out. But I don't want anybody to think that if somebody delays it on purpose, that suddenly we would lose the ability to raise money with this food and beverage tax, because that's not the case. What is the case that we have to follow the new legislation tied exactly to Monroe County. It's us, Monroe County, and they're tired of us messing around. That we have to have a plan in place, and that means the city has to have their separate plan in place of what they plan to do with this next year's money tied to tourism, and then by the following year they have to prove that they have spent it in accordance to the plan. It doesn't mean that they're saying they're going to spend every penny of it. I think that's where there's misconception. And then the county has to do the same thing. They do not have to say the same thing. The county could be saying, we want to use ours for something other than a convention center. We might. But it still has to be tourism related. Both
right.
have to be tourism related. And if I'm recalling right, they took out the part of the legislation that said it could be tied to economic development issues, because now that there's an economic development tax, it really would not be necessary to have that. What the other thing the legislation took away was the authority of that Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission that they had to agree to whatever expenditure was going to be made. That is taken away. However, that Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission is still a part of the process, and so the people wishing to spend money should go for their advice or whatever they advise, but it doesn't say they have to agree to any of it. So that's sort of a non-step, but I just
right.
want—I just.
That's
just
interesting.
Think,
you guys can yell at each other. None of this matters.
Well, and so whatever. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, it will be what the interlocal agreement agrees to. But it also means that we only have until December 1 to put together a plan. And from what I could gather, it may very well be that the county might be thinking about the soccer fields for our portion. Because remember, the dollars are split up. The county gets a very small amount as compared to the amount the city gets. And the agreement appears to be that the county can use ours for something other than convention center. Now, I know that that's what everybody's been talking about, but we have been told by our fiscal advisors when we first put this in place that it would take the entire revenue coming in. Now, of course, revenue is a great deal different now, a lot more than what one had anticipated it would be. So maybe that would no longer be the case, but we also know the expenses of building is going to be a great deal more than it was in 2017, whatever it was.
Yeah, everything's gone up quite astronomically
since then. Right, so I fiscal people are going to have to look at that. But I know that there's a big push for us to support these soccer fields out at Carson Park. And a presentation was made to us last evening at the council meeting by folks who are supporting these soccer fields. And it's just pretty pricey. Didn't know soccer fields were that expensive. But
there's a lot of land, right? Yeah.
And light fixture, the lighting for night lighting and whatever. It's going to be about, they threw out a number of about $4 million having to do with the kind of soccer field covers and whatever, so that they could really generate more tourism for people coming in.
Like having tournaments and things like softball did back in the old days? Okay.
Now, you know, there's more and more growing interest in soccer.
Sure, sure. Yeah, big time here in Bloomington.
And so this could very well add to whatever is already available to really be able to bring in some of those tournaments and some of those teams. So I think it's a great investment if we can figure it out. And certainly the people representing Parks Department, as well as McAfee was there last night supporting it, having to do with tourism related. So that was very interesting indeed. And so we asked him to put it down to a small amount of words about what it was exactly they are asking for, so that we can make sure when that motion goes on the floor to include this in, because we're talking about maybe using the food and beverage money, or if that's not enough, maybe a combination of other dollars, maybe some of the money from ARPA wherever we draw.
What does that
money
need to be spent by, the ARPA money? It seems like that's just lingering and lingering and lingering.
Right, and I think we've only got, what? Oh, boy, I don't have, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, just a ballpark number is fine, yeah.
A couple years more or something. It's got to be, is that 2027?
Well, that's a long time. That's plenty of time.
You can't drag it out forever. And that's the reason why we really need to use it on projects where it can be a one and done, get it done. And what many of us hoped for was that it was going to be projects large enough to be lasting years from now, not just, sounds like as if I got all kinds of money. A million here, a million there, pretty soon we're talking real money.
Absolutely,
but,
right.
But we do have a lot of interest in providing recreational items for the people here. And speaking of which, is our wonderful Flatwoods Park, the money that's been put out there as well with new playground equipment and so forth, and some brand new ADA porta pots going to go out there.
Good
for us. People, you take your kids out to play on a playground. And
I learned that the hard way.
I learned that the hard way.
Didn't know the bathrooms were closed in April. Well, they're not ready yet. They're not ready to go yet. So that's very important if you're a family.
Right. Then also at the new Flatwoods Park, all that playground equipment, people are so excited about it. But remember, in the heat of the day when the sun is really hot on that playground equipment gets really hot. So don't be putting your kids on there to slide down and whatever and have them end up with something really too hot. So test it first with your hands, and there's really not much anybody can do about that because it's
an outdoor game, Marty. It's just like our friends that play golf. They know their sport is outside, and that's just part of the stuff that just goes along with it. Marty Hawk is our guest today.
And the parents have said, you know, even sharing information with me, well, they just adjusted their schedule. They're going earlier in the morning before it gets so hot. So
absolutely.
The kids can really enjoy. And so anyway, that just throwing that out there. But we do have a great Parks Department, and they're working really hard to be even better. And, of course, they're like working with all of the trails and so forth.
Yeah.
So
that's part of tourism, and that's part of that fun as well. But there's another big story I wanted to get to because it does have county purview to it. There is a, I can't remember what the group's name is called, the Redevelopment Commission. There's a bunch of land east of Weimer Road, west of RCA Park. They want to put 6,000 houses in their subdivision. That is very interesting as well.
Right, it sure is. And that's where in an area, you know, if you look at overview of the map, it's in an area that sort of adjoins the county area that had been discussed about where we might put a jail or whatever, because so whether or not that will be worked together or how that's all going to work out, but yes, we need to have housing, certainly, and so that of course is the city that's doing that portion of it, and I appreciate that. Let's also talk about having to do with Fullerton Pike, that major bridge fund, that $8 million. There's work going along on that. That's going to be covered with that major bridge fund that we pay into every day. There's going to be a bond issue with being paid back with the major bridge fund revenue, and you pay into that with your property tax for that major bridge fund. And so that is moving on, and there's a lot of interest in that area. So for people to just be heads up, we are moving forward on that as well. And then we also want people to know that we have a need for figuring out how we're going to provide these 7 new positions that our sheriff is asking for. One is for mental health professionals, substance use counselor, reentry case manager, jail programs manager, crisis intervention coordinator, autism and special needs, and a legal deputy. Now, whether or not there will be enough money to do all that, because we're talking, those are very expensive.
Are those all brand new positions, Marty?
Right. That's what he's asking for. But in working with that, I'm looking around, what kind of pot of money can we move around without putting new taxes on people? Because I think right now people are struggling trying to pay the taxes because of this high increase in their assessed value. And because property values are just up there. I mean, there's no denying the fact. Property values are up there. So I looked at that special purpose tax, which we used to call the juvenile income tax, and we pay it separately. It's part of our income tax that everybody pays into, but it all comes into a special fund. It's not controlled by the county income tax. It's as far as like the 1% income tax, which is really controlled by the city. This is a separate one. And that is, we had increased the dollar amount to go, the rate for the dollars to go into that fund, and it was, we increased it really too high. And we were told at the time, well, if it is too high, then you can just go ahead and reduce it back, because that brings in more money than what is really needed. So then, if we would reduce that, there's new legislation this year that says that we can put in place an income tax to cover at one half of the court budgets that's covered in our general fund. And so if we put in place that an income tax to cover that one half of the court's expenses to the same extent that we would reduce it where you're already paying over there in another fund where it's not being used and move it over to where it's needed. Then that money that's left over, because you're covering part of the county court expenses with a income tax, then you're releasing those funds to be able to be used in the jail for some of these new positions.
Gotcha.
See what I mean?
I do.
So it really wouldn't be, if we would do it that way. Now, I don't have all the fiscal yet. We were told, please don't ask the auditor for a whole lot right now, because they are right now in Indianapolis at their required conference, and they're learning a lot. They're sending me some information. They're really learning a lot, and it is overwhelming, the amount of new responsibilities being put on the auditor's office. So I would not at all be surprised that they are going to need some new staff to try to keep get them trained and get them on board as all of this moves along, because you cannot expect the same staff to be doing all of this additional work. I just don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah, there's not enough hours in the day.
There really is not. And I know, just studying this legislation as it was coming through, I was going, well, and so same thing with the assessor's office. They changed a lot of rules having to do with assessors. So we've got our departments out there really working, trying to put, right now, they're turning in all of their miscellaneous revenue that they believe that they will get for next year, and that auditor then will look at that miscellaneous revenue to see, you know, and add that to our 4% levy growth, because we look every year for how much are we going to be allowed to grow that, what's called a frozen levy. And for this coming year, the state has said, we're capping it at 4%. You don't get any more than 4%. And so we've known that since this legislation happened. So we add that and the miscellaneous revenue. And then we take a look at the income tax. But we must not be spending down that new income tax that was just put in place by the city, but the county gets a huge portion of it as well. We had counted on, and we said we were counting on that, to pay back the bond, to help pay back the bond for the new jail facility. So hopefully people will not start spending that money as though we are rich, because if they do, then, boom, before you know it, there'll be a separate bond issue and not covered to that by that revenue. So you really have to be laser focused on finances if you want to be on the county council. How many times you hear me say that?
That's true. It's absolutely true.
It's just absolutely the case. So
it's not all rides in the parade and hanging out at the fair, is it, Marty?
No, it sure isn't. And we know that the vote center that had been said, well, you know, we're going to be talking about this vote center and all these different steps we're going to take. Well, it's actually the election board that starts that. It's not the county council. It's not the county commission election board. And they can decide whether or not they want to at least investigate. And they are, the election board did meet, and they're going to put together some committees to decide whether or not this is something that they have an interest in doing. And if they do, then it has to be an absolute unified voice by all. It has to be unanimous by all three members of that election board. And that is set by state. It's not up to us to decide.
Yeah, I think that's, and we've kind of talked, danced around that issue for years, because we see the early voting is an election center, and we used that for how many days? 20 days or something? It's not like we haven't done it before. It's just different. But again, when we're talking about finance, opening all those polling places, training all those polling workers, et cetera, we just don't have a bottomless pit of money to choose from.
Well, and what we have to think about this year as well, I think it's very it's essential that we continue to make sure people understand that this vote having to do with the school referendum, that's the vote's going to be taking place this fall.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And we know that the votes this fall, the election for this fall, is only for the city.
Correct.
However, if school referendum ballots have to be decided this fall as well, all the people out there in the county who are paying this school tax, if this goes through, they have to have a place to go vote for it.
So that's why I think the vote centers would make sense instead of doing that, right? You'd put.
Well, I think the election board will. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Right.
That they will decide that there will be some place for all the people who live out in the county, who would normally not be voting this time around. They will have a place to go vote, having to do with the referendum, and they'll probably state what the locations would be. I don't know. So that will be also up to the election board. So if you're sitting out there in the county and you want your voice to be counted on the referendum, make certain that you know where you're supposed to go. Now, this won't be the Richland or the Bean Blossom townships, because that referendum is not on anything we have to do. That's for everybody else. So, but it's important, and that part of what the state did with their legislation for this coming year has to do with what can happen with the referendum revenue. It is tied to 3% growth. Now that it's not forever and ever. It is just because the state, it was part of what the state is trying to do to get those taxes down, because everybody saw their taxes increase so much when they saw their tax bills and their assessed values and so forth. So the state legislature tried to work their way around, what are we going to do about it? One of the things that the county council has the opportunity to do, if they choose to do it, is to reduce the net, provide a circuit breaker tax where it would only be increased. Your property tax could only increase 2% per year, just like the over 65 circuit breaker tax. But there's rules that you have to follow to decide whether or not you want to do that, and that's up to the county council. I'd ask that to be put on the county's page, but they got it mixed up, and they're only looking at the rules for the over 65. So it's not the same rules that I was talking about, so they'll have to research that. But indeed, if the over 65, it is tied to if your house is valued at less than $240,000 or less, and if it's a one-person household, your adjusted gross income has to be under $30,000, and if it's a two-person, then it's
50.
When I've got two taxpayer, you can have children,
right?
Then it would be $40,000.
Okay.
So I want people, if they have a home that's valued at $240,000 or under, just check it out. The auditor's office has all those rules. I've asked for all of those rules and all those updates to go on the county page at the beginning, where they have all this recent news. It's all 2 months old. Let's put some of the new news on there.
I couldn't agree more. And that's another conversation for another day, Marty, because we've talked about, do they need a media person? Well, that media person, right. We'll get into that down the road.
I don't agree with you on that media person, because somebody's got to train that media person.
Well, that's it. Well, and then again, who's telling them what media to put on there, and is it really media, or is it right? So
Or is that just what somebody wants?
That's exactly right. So we got to put the documents up there that are official and everything else that makes news. If not, they just have to tune into us every Wednesday after 4:05, and I'm fine with that.
Okay, and watch the weather.
I am watching. And that's good. You know why? Everybody's telling me that, and that's good, because when we're all aware, hopefully we can all be safe, and I hope you're safe if anything blows through. Let's do it again next Wednesday, please.
Right, and in the meantime, I want somebody to check out to see which of the county buildings had backup generators to keep electricity going, or to keep it going. I want to know.
All right. Well, it's out there. I hope you get your answer, and I know sometimes that's more difficult than you think.
Okay, thank you.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman.